Yeah.
I'll be here in a second.
Yeah. We were talking about what, goat? Jamaican food?
Yeah.
I will eat Jamaican food all the time. I'm not.
I was hoping you were just going to end it. I will eat Jamaican food.
Hey, Jamaican.
I will.
Jamaican food is awesome.
Jamaican monkey bread? I love that stuff.
Yeah.
That stuff is awesome.
I totally agree. Oh, we're recording, by the way.
All
right. That's my Larry impression.
That was certainly loud enough to qualify.
Yeah, Larry's sick today, so he's not here. So that's it's right. Us doing this podcast. This is episode 78. What's the name of this podcast again?
Geeks of the Square Table.
People that don't give a fuck about anyone else's opinions.
Too many podcasts.
I am your guest host for the week. I'm Gomer, and with us is...
Joshua.
Jesse.
Jules.
Adam.
And Heather and is at the cash register.
Yeah, Heather's hanging out somewhere.
Yeah, just Heather's here. She'll be here in a second.
Jim and the Holograms number one came out from IDW today.
Yes,
she couldn't be more excited.
Nope.
I'm not really a big fan of Jim.
Yeah, I never really got into Jim. Didn't they have a crossover with something, though, at one
point?
What
do you mean? Like, probably, like, they, Scooby-Doo or
there
something.
There was a...
Scooby-Doo crosses over with every damn thing.
But, yeah,
there's
I don't think it was Scooby-Doo.
No, it was something, like, totally random that they would...
I've never
crossover.
I've never read them, so I have no opinion about
this. Didn't the cartoon have a crossover with another
totally
unrelated show?
She was part of. She crossover with.
Don't know.
I can't even remember.
But I know she crossed over like something that I watched.
Nobody cares about Jim.
And I was like, I don't know what this is. That's in this episode.
It was
I'm not sure.
A rock show, but I can't remember.
Yeah. But it was Thundercats.
No,
it wasn't?
No.
No.
See, now
that would be hilarious.
I don't know how they would explain that.
I don't know. You know what should have crossed over?
Mark
He-Man
just said Gem
and
the Thundercats.
Why did that never happen?
That would have worked.
That would have worked.
The dimensions
yes,
and stuff, third
exactly.
Earth and...
And He-Man, they told, Eternia, they talked about other dimensions.
And then they could just both hold their swords up in
the
air
exactly,
same
and, yell,
and yell.
And gather everybody else around them.
And have their worthless, you know, little friends hanging out with them. Snarf.
Snarf and, what's the other guy?
Yeah.
The little wizard guy from He-Man.
Oh, I don't remember. Oh, it's out of the O, Orion.
Oro?
Oro, something
it was
like
Orin
like
or something.
Oreo.
It was Orin.
Orin.
So I'm looking up Gem and the Holograms crossovers.
That's what I was looking for.
And there's a bunch of fanned ones like a Transformers and Gem crossover.
Oh.
There's a Gem and Teen Titans crossover, which I would read the hell out of
that.
I would read the hell out of Teen Titans.
Well, you
like they go to a concert and it happens to be Gem.
No, I love the Teen Titans. I really do. I watch the TV show.
Yes.
I love
it. But I'm just saying also because
it's
Gem.
Yeah.
Because you just bought every
variant.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, she
Do you watch Teen Titans Go?
Yes.
Why?
We watch all the Teen Titans.
It's been called the worst comic book.
Jules is so despondent right now.
Honestly,
he can't understand this amount of insanity.
It's mainly for the humor of it because
it's like
there
funny.
Are things that come across that I'm like, okay, kids might not get that, but the adults get it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I find that rather hilarious, and I find myself quoting some things occasionally just because they tickle me. And it's not so much
sure
that the show is all that great. It's just that I get the humor in some of it. You know, I understand.
Okay. See, I guess I'm still Young Justice remorseful.
Oh,
the
me
fact
too.
That it got canceled,
I mean, everyone,
and Teen Titans Go replaced it.
Yeah. See, I
it's
love
got
Young
a
Justice.
Different
we've
fan base.
Watched every episode
Plus,
of Young Justice, and it's
why?
Amazing.
Why?
It's got a Teen
why
Titans
do you
go
end that show on a major character?
Teen Titan.
Death?
Teen Titans
I just,
Go.
I don't understand.
It has a broader fan base.
It's
yes,
younger
yes,
kids
I can
and
see
older.
That.
Teen or Young Justice was pretty much
just adults.
Well, my kids dug it.
Yeah,
but not as much as like DBZ.
Yeah.
And the other
it was
crazy shit.
It had a lot going on.
It was a bit
for
more
kids.
Of a drama too. Like it,
yeah.
It wasn't like it wasn't just go.
It was a heavy
action.
Show.
It didn't have just jokes.
It was like Justice
stop.
League.
It was a heavy show, and it wasn't just a heavy show. It was continuous.
Yes.
It was one long story they were telling.
Yeah.
Us.
Well,
and it's kids have ADD. It's hard for them to keep track.
Well,
you know, what's going
the
on?
Only,
what? Squirrel. What?
The only redeeming reason why I even watched Young Justice in the first place is just because as a cartoon character, Miss Martian was hot.
Artemis was hot in that.
Well, yeah, true.
Everybody was great in that show.
I don't know.
You're like, everybody was hot.
I don't
Superboy,
know. I'm a big...
No,
Superboy
I,
was
no.
a dreamboat in that.
In all fairness, I'm a big Wall-E fan. I've always been a big Wall-E fan. Anything...
The cartoon?
Just
Wall-E,
in general.
Like
Wall-E
the robot?
West. West. Wall-E.
I know who you meant,
I do love
dude.
Wall-E.
I know who you meant, dude.
But the idea that he actually got... In Teen Titans...
He's the hero.
He was a guest character.
In Young Justice, he's the
yes,
hero.
Yes, he was the hero.
The hero.
The hero.
The guy. Yes. That's why you're pissed, because he died at the end. I want Wally back.
I want Wally back. Wally was so cool.
Spoiler alert if you haven't seen Young Justice. It's still worth watching.
I love how he says it at the end. By the way, that was bubbles it too.
Okay, which if you haven't watched Young Justice yet, we've talked about it. A whole bunch. I remember early on when it first came on Netflix, we were like just like pushing that like crazy.
Yeah. They still only had the first season.
If you haven't watched Young Justice by now, chances are you're probably not going to watch it.
You should though.
But you probably should.
You should be
you're
watching
so good.
Like, you should be watching it.
Yeah, I was so sad. But they did. Have you watched Avengers Earth Mightiest Heroes?
No.
It's really good. It's really good.
The stories are good. I don't like the animation.
I don't mind the animation. You kind of get used to it after a while.
You get used to any animation.
In the first season, my favorite superhero is one of the main characters.
I mean, that Green Lantern.
And in the second season.
Yeah, which I watched all of that.
And I hated that animation.
It's the same thing.
You can definitely get used to any type of animation, because I got used to Super Jail, and that animation was totally fucked up.
I love that animation.
It was messed up. But it was cool.
I did not like that weird CG that's in Green Lantern, but you get used to it because the story gets so good.
Yeah, the story's good. They introduced the Red Lanterns in the
DLC.
I remember I had to tell people like who were coming over like they watch me watching it.
Who's that? Shut up, Grandma.
Yeah, just like, watch
it. They'd just be like, why are you watching this? Because they'd see the animation and be like, why are you watching? I was like, no, trust me, it's actually good.
It gets good.
It doesn't get good. I liked it from the beginning.
Yeah. The pilot is awesome.
Yeah. Is the Green Lantern cartoon series that you guys are talking about the one where the AI on the Green Lantern ship interacts with
them?
Yes. All right. I love that series. That animation was good.
Man, it was just way different
than what I was used to.
What's that? The Batman show that was on?
Beware the Batman.
Beware the Batman.
I didn't.
That was terrible.
I wanted that.
It never got good.
I wanted it to be good too. Because by then I was used to the animation, and I thought it worked for Batman. The way they did the angles, you know, it worked. But yeah, the stories were just—it
was so bad.
Bad.
You know what was awesome though?
What?
What was that Batman team-up show called?
Brave and the Bold.
That was
awesome.
That was fun.
The one thing I still can't get over when it comes to cartoon characters is like characters like Bane. The way they do them in the cartoon series, they look like super roided out, hulked out, in their top torso, and then they have toothpicks for legs. Oh. It's like,
well, you shouldn't skip leg day.
don't skip leg day.
Well, apparently they did.
It's just important.
Apparently they skipped that day in animation class.
I don't know how the Bane steroids just don't make it past his torso.
Yeah, you know, I don't know.
It's just stopping his waist.
No, he shrinks everything else.
He's got a tight belt.
He shrinks everything else.
Batman the Animated Series was the introduction of
Bane. Damn it, steroids. What?
The Batman, the animated series Bane.
Yeah.
Wasn't super roided out.
He was just a really cool guy.
Well, and actually,
he looked really cool normal. Yeah. He had a little bit of normalcy to his look.
Oh, yeah, Young Justice Bane didn't look super roided. He was super smart.
They've gotten away from making super villains drug enraged, you know.
Yeah. I mean,
actually, that is beyond Bane.
It's the same thing what scientists say with the Barbie doll. They said, like, if a human being was actually built an actual Barbie doll, there's no way their body could support their weight structure.
Because he's the same way.
Yeah, and I can't stand it when characters look like that. It's like, if you want me to believe that this guy has the strength of an ox, then by all means, do that. But make him look realistic.
At least a little bit. Superman's not really. He can move the planet, but he looks just like me. Maybe a little bit.
I know, but
not much.
I know. But can you at least make Bane look a little realistic?
Bane as a character is supposed to be jacked.
Gomer is super jacked.
I know you can't.
I can barely wipe my ass.
I know you can. Hey, you can look
so
jacked.
You can't scratch your face.
Scratch my face.
Hey, you can look jacked and still look halfway normal. Look at Mark McGuire for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, yeah.
Channing Tatum?
Yeah.
Channing Tatum, man. Don't get me started.
We started with Jim
in the holograms, number one, coming out today.
Yeah.
And we got to talk about steroids.
And then we got the steroids somehow.
Yeah, that's how you get Jim in the holograms.
Let's backpedal.
Only this show.
Yeah. Let's backpedal back to Jem, because Heather is very stoked that Jem and the Holograms has been issued as a comic.
And she's even got her doll.
Yeah, I
and
have
she's
my got her doll from when I was a kid. Oh, wait, I begged and begged and begged.
Figure, quote,
that's
not
no, no, no. This is a doll.
That's a doll.
That's a doll.
Yeah.
Well, hey, I just wanted to put that in there as a disclaimer of for course. Like all
this,
the like all the Roy nerds.
This girl has not seen
nerds.
Any action in a long time. She is a doll.
But, wait, did you just say she hasn't seen any action in a long time? What have you been doing
with
this poor doll?
Hey, G.I. Joe went back to the military. What can I say? He's been overseas.
Heather brought in her Barbie.
It's not a Barbie. It's a Jem
But it's by Mattel based on Barbie.
It's a doll.
Exactly.
I don't care what gender or what franchise it is. Yeah. It's got actual clothes.
It's not.
It's a doll.
No, there's a difference.
She even just pulled up the back of her skirt.
Yes.
She was looking for a label.
She is made by a different company than Barbie. They're
so that's
not Barbie.
A Mattel company?
No, it's Hasbro.
Oh.
This is Hasbro.
Dude, you look at that face.
Yeah.
That's Barbie.
No, it's not.
That
no.
looks just
no, no, no.
like Barbie.
No, Barbie's
that's
eyes
got a Barbie
are
look
more
to
squinty.
It. Hey,
I collect Barbies and the Jem dolls.
I know
the
I'm
difference.
Just saying,
there are differences.
I'm saying from a guy's perspective with me and Gomer, this looks like a Barbie doll face a little bit.
From a guy's perspective, maybe, but
it looks like a Barbie doll. I bet there were some lawsuits.
I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't doubt
there weren't.
There were not. No.
Wow. That's surprising. That is really surprising.
Well, there was. With the there were big differences.
Yeah,
but the heads were different.
They tried that battleship movie that didn't make
sense. Yeah, but here's the thing, though. If you just do a quick glance at this doll, it looks like a Barbie face.
Definitely.
Well, I can tell you honestly, there's a huge difference.
So how much is that worth now? Have you
actually?
Actually,
she in her current condition is worth about $40 right
that's
now.
Good.
So,
right.
It's probably but $8 she's missing. Action she's missing her bow. She's missing her tights and her shoes.
Yeah,
and apparently her earrings, her underwear as well.
She never. She had tights. They didn't have underwear.
Come on, man.
So anyway, yeah, she's missing her underwear here. So anyway,
but
I just flashed him. All right, so
IDW
the doll flashed him. I didn't flash him. Okay, let me
IDW
clear that.
IDW is the king of license, man, licenses. Yes.
All right, so as far as the differences, the Barbie and the Jem doll and even some of her other predecessors, different shape head.
Okay.
Their head is more on an oval, an actual oval.
The Barbies.
Where the Barbies are more egg-shaped, where these are more just clear-out oval. They don't narrow quite as much at the bottom.
Yeah,
they're not nearly
and they're
as
larger.
Angular.
They're
so
larger.
Do you just have Jem, or do you have the other members
of the
band?
I have her sister.
Nice.
And somewhere I have the other two members of the band, and
I bet the band's worth more than each. I mean,
well, the band complete,
even all of them
I can get
together.
About $125 for a complete
that's
band.
Nice.
Now, as far as the Misfits, which were the rival band to them, if you have all of the characters, you're looking about $500 for the complete. So,
and that's going to go up. That can only go up this year.
And it
with
is.
The comic
I've been watching
and the movie.
It since the announcement of the movie. Their prices are steadily.
And I'm
climbing.
Sure they're going to reissue.
Wait, is this going to be a live action?
They already have. Yeah. They already have reissued. It was announced at Comic-Con.
Nice.
And they gave away a convention.
Exclusive
of Jem. It came with a Jerrica / Jem outfit. Jerrica is her alter ego.
Yeah.
Well, Jem is the alter ego. Jerrica is the main person.
Yeah.
But it was really cute, and it's already selling for like $1.50 on eBay, and so I'm trying to get one. But it was only given out at
I wish I had
one
because I could buy my Devastator for $150. That's really what I want.
Yeah. But as far as the comic book, I just, took a minute to glance through it. And it's kind of the, I'm not going to spoil too much,
but
it's getting her, it's how she gets started becoming Jem. And
with her dad and the devices, the technology, does it get into that?
A little bit of that. Her dad's not going to.
You guys didn't think I knew this much about Jem.
Now, this actually isn't going to involve her dad quite so much in the comic book series.
Okay.
I will just say, because I know there's some girls that are probably look at this for the first time. I don't want to ruin Synergy for them, but it basically Synergy comes in a slightly different way in the comic book, which is fine with me because Synergy is supposed to be a magic thing anyway.
Yeah.
But as far as the comic book characters, I'm actually really thrilled that they took a little bit of a left turn with them. Two of the characters are actually plus size girls.
Nice.
Which
impressive.
Really, it really just kind of thrilled me.
Well, they know this is a book that is being pushed towards females, and especially younger girls. Right, and it's good to take the whole image out of pop music.
I don't really like. Yeah. All right, Heather's
showing off the characters in the Gem comic. Right here.
Yeah.
Now Gem is normal size girl. Okay. You know, she's normal.
When you say normal, she's what you would think of as a pop star.
Yeah, pop. You would think like Taylor Swift.
Exactly.
Yeah, Taylor Swift. I mean, perfect Taylor Swift with pink hair.
But the other one is more like a
Aja, she's more like a Demi Lovato type look.
Yeah,
still looks good.
Aja is the lead guitar player. She looks great. She's beautiful, and I want her hair, seriously. Yeah. Shayna is African American. She's a full figure girl.
But here's the thing: I don't consider her full.
Who's that girl with the big butt? Nicki Minaj.
She's got a thicker waist, but she's along the Nicki Minaj type
But look, here's the thing, though. I'm looking at this picture of Shayna, and she does not look full-figured to me. Well, she looks like an appropriate body style with the curves in all the right places.
Yeah, she's figured correctly, but she is still fuller, and I like that. Well, you know, so don't ruin the fantasy.
But what we're talking about, but what we're talking about here is a comic book.
Right.
Comic book females
are stick thin.
And they're
very top heavy.
And very top heavy.
And none of these girls are overly top heavy.
And it looks like Jem is trying to push actual real image, imagery in their comics.
Which is nice that someone is doing it.
Very refreshing.
We have the last girl who is Kimber. She's actually Jem Jerica's sister. Mm-hmm. No. She's always been there.
Okay.
She's always, and in fact, she's the other character I have.
She's
at home
much
right now.
Older in this than she was in the cartoon.
She's Jem's little sister. Yeah.
But she's. It appears that Kimber is older in this iteration of Jem than she was.
She's 18, and
I don't think she was that old.
Jem is 23.
See, I don't think she was that old in the cartoon.
And Kimber
was upper teens. Okay.
And Kimber looks kind of svelte.
Yeah, you know. Kimber is very thin, very, you know, model-esque, which she was on the TV show, too.
And her sister is, too, so they're sticking with, you know, I don't know.
Right. Now, the one thing that really
gets me... seems hard.
Jesse, don't be spitting Dr. Pepper everywhere, David.
But, yeah, she's...
All right, I'll grant you that one.
But, yeah, I'm really thrilled to see a positive comic book look for
Heck
girls.
Yeah.
You know, you can look at this comic book and you see people normal. You know, yes, they're in color, but, you know, they're normal shapes, normal sizes, normal expectations of women and different body types. And, you know, they have one that's, you know, of an Asian background. They have one that's African-American.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the sisters, you know, they're both Caucasian, white, whatever you want to say.
But they're sticking with
they're sisters.
The story, the original
backstory. They're sticking to the original story, original hair color, so they're easily identifiable to those of us who have watched the show. But then, you know, the future fans.
They can ease into it really easy.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm glad they're starting at the beginning of Jem's story. That way, girls that are just getting into it understand what's going on, and it's not just dropping them in someplace later in the story.
In an industry where Marvel and DC have to throw it in your face that, look how all what we're doing for women. We have A-Force. We have this new Justice League book with all girls in it.
Yep.
IDW's like, nah, here you go. We've been doing
it. This is literally four girls starting
just
a garage
telling good
band.
Story.
This is something totally doable by girls.
Yeah.
It's not something that, you know, you sit there and you're like, oh, well, you know, I have to learn how to, you know,
do my hair and makeup and not focus on playing guitar.
Right, right. I mean, it's not, I have to learn to, you know, fight with a sword. I have to learn to, you know, pluck a bow. No, you can look at this and say, hey, I'm going to pick up a guitar and learn to play. I make my own band.
You can be a pop star. And it doesn't have to be this stereotype, you know, prejudice sort of way that we think all pop stars are supposed to look.
That's
really
exactly
a good idea.
Speaking of bands and comic books, I'm totally unrelated, but...
Well, let's switch gears anyway. Okay. Go ahead. Yeah, we'll switch gears.
If you haven't
Jem is in this week. It's the debut. Jump on that. It's good.
They draw Gwen Stacy and Spider-Gwen playing drums. It's one of the most...
Who did?
Trying to figure the name of the artist.
Rodriguez.
Dude, it's gorgeous. It looks like drums in motion.
In theory, I'm against the whole Gwen book.
Yeah,
the idea that there's a band called the Mary Janes is ridiculous to me.
For one, I think that's a terrible name. But
it's
logical to be the Mary Janes though, because
Mary Jane is
a style of shoe. Yeah. You know,
well, they're naming it after the redhead in Spider-Man.
No, I get who they're naming it after. I'm not completely blonde, but
I don't like it.
It takes the logical step. in that if you've ever read Spider-Man, you know Mary Jane is an egotistical prat.
A bee. Right. She's a big yeah. bee.
And Peter MJ is the only thing that softened her. Without Peter ever entering her life, it only makes sense she would continue to be more of an a-hole. Well, and that's what this story takes
the idea. I would rather listen to a group called Mary Jane's than Josie and the Pussycats.
Well, then you don't have to buy it.
I'm not buying it.
And I know you're not buying it.
I'm not buying it.
But you know what? It's a really fun Spider-Man.
I'll read it for free on Marvel Unlimited.
It is, yeah, and I'm sure you will.
I will.
It is a really good Spider-Man story.
And then he'll tell us how much...
How awesome, how wrong I was.
Yes. Daredevil is the Kingpin. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Yes, Matt Murdock became the Kingpin.
And,
wait, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, in this alternate universe...
man.
It's because Peter Parker never helped him. He overthrew Wilson Fisk on his own and became the Kingpin.
In the Spider-Gwen book, Gwen Stacy is bitten by a radioactive spider, not
Peter Parker.
And it shows what changes from that one thing not happening the way it did in the normal universe. Yes. Regular universe.
So basically, she became Hannah Montana. So that's what the Spider-Gwen books are about?
Yeah. Okay. They're like an indie band. Yeah. She plays drums.
Nothing wrong with that.
I've been wondering about that for a while now.
I love indie
bands. And her dad's still Captain Stacy. It's a way more interesting story.
Sons of Anarchy trade paperback number 2.
Yeah, let's talk about that, and then we'll go back to Marvel, because I want to talk about some Marvel news.
Alright, well, here's the thing. Here, I have to look.
He's talking about the Sons of Anarchy trade. It's volume 2.
Yeah, volume 2. It's chapters 7 through 10.
It's Ed Bryson, and who's on the art? Damian
Cusiero. And he does the illustrations for chapters 8 through 10, and then Jesus Hervas does the first chapter, which is chapter 7.
Okay.
Chapter 7, the artwork is just... like Cracker Jack for better for lack
it's not
of,
good
yeah I mean here I'll show you
no don't show me it's an audio podcast man
but, yeah, I mean, it really is not that great
okay
but like all the rest of it looks great I haven't read through it yet but all the artwork looks good so I'm looking forward to reading
I'm a fan of Ed Bryson. Bryson?
I think it's Bryson.
He wrote some stuff for Marvel.
Yes. Yeah?
Just last year. It was pretty good. What was it? I don't know exactly. I just remember seeing his name on some shit.
He wrote a couple tie-ins.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah.
But Marvel news, Marvel's canceling 33 comic books leading up to Secret Wars.
Well, they're not really canceling.
They're not going to have them.
They have explained that some of these will come back and iterate. Actually,
they're not going to come back with the same numbering.
So they're
going to be new volumes.
They'll all be new
volumes. You have
to
cancel a volume before you can start a new volume. Yes. Unless you're Hawkeye.
Right.
Wait, that was a good one. Fill me in a little bit.
Okay.
On what? On the...
Just whatever you
want. Secret Wars is Marvel's big event.
Yeah.
And what it's going to do is it's tearing down the multiverse.
Supposedly
a reboot. Probably more of a reset than a reboot. But leading up to that, Marvel's canceling... pretty much all but 4 of their ongoing books. Howard the Duck, there's a couple more that are staying around.
They're like standalone books.
Yeah, there's a couple of books that are going to hang out, but Marvel's canceling most of their books.
Okay, so these books that they're canceling are not integrated in with the books that they've already been doing.
Spider-Gwen's a totally different universe. Yeah. So
Spider-Gwen is.
Yeah, so it makes sense she wouldn't
get canceled. Amazing Spider-Man isn't getting canceled, but it's going to have a lot of tie-ins to the Secret
Wars. It's going to be Spider-Verse.
Yeah, but I think that's going to be a different book. I think it's going to be Amazing and
Spider-Verse. Spider-Verse is going to be its own book.
It's going to be a Spider-Island tie-in, too.
Yes.
Spider Island.
Yeah, Spider Island was when Manhattan got everybody on Manhattan.
A couple years ago.
I liked it.
It was really cool.
Everybody on Manhattan got turned into a spider.
That's what made
Spider-Man
good again.
Everybody had spider powers. It's a lot cooler than I'm making it sound.
I certainly hope so because I'm sitting here gobsmacked by that even remote idea of that even
so
happening.
Good,
it was really
it's
good.
So
it was
good.
Dan Slott. Here's the thing: if Dan Slott hadn't written that, I would never read Spider Man. Because of how bad One More Day was.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Spider-Island was the most redeemable thing he could have done.
It was really good.
It was really good.
I like all the stuff he did with Parker Industries and that.
You know, I like Superior.
Loved it. But Superior is one of the ones getting canceled, Spider-Man.
Again.
This book, it's gotten canceled twice now. Even though it's selling like mad, it's gotten canceled twice.
Wait, what?
Actually, I know. You know what? The biggest announcement...
Man, I can't stand it when companies do shit like that.
Well, I understand why they're doing what they're doing now.
The reason why I'm saying that is because it's the same, like, I have to... take it to a motorcycle standpoint.
That's fine.
All right, because
that's what you understand.
It's the only analogy I can make. All right, okay. This is what KTM does. KTM is mainly known as dirt bikes and off-road motorcycles. That's their niche. That's what they do.
Okay.
All right, and one of my motorcycle teachers, he used to be a rider for KTM, and he knows that they do this. And I asked him why they did this, and he.
Well, what do they do, Josh? All right,
so what they do is they'll build a motorcycle, and it won't be like perfect, but they'll make minor tweaks over it over the year.
Or DLC for your bike.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So they'll do minor tweaks, and they'll get it absolutely bulletproof. And then they'll go, all right, well, let's scrap it and let's start with something else. And it's like, why the fuck would you do that?
In motorcycles, why would you get something, it's a little different.
Why would you get something perfect and then go, oh, well, let's not build this anymore?
In comic books and entertainment, you got to keep constantly changing to give the audience something fresh.
Yeah, I know, but, I mean, why would you why would you make a series for only, like, 10 books and then cancel it?
Well, or for however many books Marvel that they're doing. And motorcycles is that Marvel has, like, a continuity of stories.
Yeah.
That's, like, 7 years.
Goldfish in this internet age, and by about issue number 10, interest starts dying down on the book.
Yeah, Mark's saying that after about 10 issues of a series, people stop buying it.
Alright, well, instead of spending all that money to just, you know, print 10 separate comics, why don't they just save the money and print just a trade paperback and just go, here, people.
Because then what am I going to buy on Wednesday?
Yeah, what am I going to buy on Wednesday?
Well,
I
then couldn't here's, here's
tradition. Couldn't tradition is
this
the
might be a common sense thing. Tradition. If they start losing interest after issue 10, just do a storyline that takes 10 issues.
Well, yeah, exactly.
That's what they do.
It's very rare for a comic book series to go over 25 issues, especially nowadays, a Marvel book.
Nowadays, yeah.
Nowadays.
So,
That's 2 years.
Well,
and you know, and if it is really good, it does go the distance.
Basically, what it is a writer will do his run, and then once his run is done, they will end the volume, and then they'll start a next volume.
Because if the writer isn't good, he's often 6 issues. Yes. No, we're going to put somebody else on that book.
Jason Aaron has been on Thor for going on 3 years now.
With two different volumes.
Two different volumes.
Yeah.
Same thing with Rick Remender.
Uncanny.
Right, well, here's a question. If they do that and they only do like 6 issues, why don't they do it like the way TV shows do with like a pilot episode, and they'll make like 2 or 3 and ask people to come in, hey, watch these 2 or 3 episodes, see what you think, and if people don't like it, then they just make those two or three.
Because they can't sell a trade then. Yes. You have to finish a story so you can at least try to sell the book.
I know, but if you make 2 or 3... like, just make 2 or 3 books and ask people to come in, hey, read this.
I would compare it more to movies than TV.
Yes. I know, but wouldn't making only 2 or 3 books make more sense? Because if you bring in a test group and they go, yeah, I'm curious. I want to know what happens next.
The House of Ideas is too broad to have a generic group of people to test it out.
Marvel's own internal editorial is their market research.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because
they're winning.
Marvel's
better about figuring out what sells than DC.
Yes. They always.
Well, why don't they ever just come out with new characters and keep new characters?
They do. Kamala Khan.
The new Ms. Marvel.
The new Nova.
The new Nova.
He's been around. His book's like got 40 Silk. Issues now.
Silk?
Yeah.
Gwen?
Spider-Gwen?
Remember, you're gonna have to cut me some slack because I'm mainly sticking on DC right now. Well, so.
And that's DC's problem, and it has been their problem for a long time.
They don't have any new heroes.
They don't have anybody new.
The thing about DC is they have so many heroes they don't use. If they would just reintroduce Catman, for example. If they would just
reintroduce Catman.
Wait, for an issue!
But no, this is the problem with DC's editorial is they released 2 issues of Secret 6, but then you won't get issue 3 until after Convergence is all done. So it's like, why did you start this series?
They did the same thing with Forever Evil.
It's like, why would you start this series when you know there's going to be a 2-month break between you can even
DC
has a lot of characters that they don't use that they could use and make them cool. That Clarion?
Artemis?
He's not new, is he?
Dude,
he's
been around forever.
Hey, what about...
Both of them are interesting.
Jules, hey, what about Artemis? You know, Green Arrow's daughter. Who was her mother?
She's fairly new.
Who was her mother again?
I don't remember.
She was introduced back before the new thing.
Yes, she was.
But she's newer than, like, Catman and this question.
She's been around for, like, 15
years. I'd like to see...
Well, she was Arrowette originally, remember? Yeah, in Young Justice, written by...
I don't know.
Now is Joker's daughter?
Joker's daughter is new.
Well, I mean,
Joker's daughter's new, but she sucks.
She's really bad.
She's terrible.
Well, Well, is she in the movie?
Does she have her own
standalone book in the New 52?
No, she's on the Suicide... No, she's not... Yeah, she's on the Suicide Squad. She's in a team book.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But she's in a team book with people who they've tried, like Deathstroke. Yeah. They tried to give him his own standalone.
Yeah, it's his own standalone.
It sucks! Yeah. It's terrible!
Yeah, it's always terrible, but I mean...
It's terrible.
It's always...
I don't get it. DC, they should get rid of everything but Batman.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Problem. Nothing else is sells. Well, Wonder Woman was great. Nobody was buying it.
Stuck in the past. Yes. And I blame that squarely on Jeff Johns and his big boner for the Silver Age.
He's a fanboy.
He's a fanboy for the Silver Age.
Well, not only that, their editorial has always been bad about letting a story go forward.
All right, look.
What do you mean?
I mean, like, as much as I hate Grant Morrison, he had the right idea with killing Bruce Wayne off. And letting Dick Grayson take the mantle.
But he always had it planned to bring him back.
And that was the problem. And I'm sure it was an editorial crippling thing. You can't kill Bruce. Bruce has to be in the story. Well, now, it would have been even more redeeming if Bruce just came back. If you didn't have Bruce traveling through time in the back of the book and every
It was fun
issue,
for Blackest Night even, when they realized that, Bruce isn't around. That was cool.
Even though they did bring Bruce back, there was still growth with characters in the Batman universe. Dick was still Batman.
Dick and Damian both had a lot of growth.
The problem is, DC is like, no, you gotta bring Batman back. And as soon as you bring Batman back, you know what happens? Nothing. Everything goes back to normal. Everything was immediate.
Like it never happened.
Exactly. Yeah. All of a sudden, he goes back to being Nightwing.
Damian had no a-hole.
Damian started over. Nightwing. He didn't go back to being Nightwing until the New 52.
Oh, you're right. There were two Batmans for a while.
So I remember I bought that Batman.
Because you were just like Batman. The way you guys are making this sound,
it does not sound very good at all. It really does not even make me want to read it. And I generally try to stay away from Batman, but I thought that if I, like, maybe if I started with the New 52, maybe it would be okay. But the way you guys are making it sound, I don't even want to try.
Justice League for Bruce.
It's about the journey and the destination. The destination sucked, but getting there was cool. For those Batman books.
It was a fun ride, but once you got to the end,
it's like, where the hell am I? I'm right back where I started.
And that's always been the problem. I don't like that.
I mean, I like to have a good journey, but I want the destination to be just as good as the journey.
Because most time, you have to leave the character the way you found the character for the next person who's going to come around.
Because
you can't leave the character in some really screwed up place, because then...
Only Marvel is allowed to do that.
Like Daredevil. What happened to Daredevil? Like they ended that one run where at the end
Brubaker left him in prison.
Or they left him. They left him the leader of the Hand.
Maybe he left him the leader of the Hand.
Whoever takes it up does a good job.
I'll just screw everything up, and the next guy can fix it all.
Well, guys, here's the thing though. Like Monday, I got done reading the Flash, the New 52 trade number 2.
Okay.
All right.
Awesome art, no doubt.
Man, but I was actually really jonesing because like after the like the ninth, you know, the number 9 issue that was in the book
after the trade.
Yeah, it was like when the Rogues fight with Flash was starting to get really geared up, and Captain Cold teamed up with him and then double crossed him.
You were cool with how? Let me stop you. You were cool how they changed the Rogues.
Well, I remember it's the first book.
He probably doesn't.
I don't know any of the back history.
Keep reading that, as cool as it was, the Rogues.
Remember when Captain Cold and Forever Evil, they just said, nope, we don't want him to have those powers anymore. And they literally said, nope, you just lose them. There was no explanation, nothing. I just can't do it anymore. Let me go to this hardware store and build my Cold gun. What are you doing, dude? He's got to have the 60s.
Guys, remember, I'm being objective.
So it's my second book that I've ever read.
So I'm enjoying it. But
you know Captain Cold has a gun.
Yeah.
But he didn't in this.
Well, he had it. He had one originally.
And he gets his powers.
Yeah, and then he got his power as a DNA recoder.
It was so stupid. You can't even say that with a straight face, guys.
All right, I'll admit, I'm gonna put my gun on. God damn it!
I'm X-Men. Well, we're talking about your comments.
Well, look, I can understand y'all's viewpoint that like the science didn't really make a whole lot of sense.
Oh, it's not the science; it's the character didn't work.
Burnt all over.
Well, I just kind of went with it. I just wanted to read it.
I think the cold gun is a big part of Captain Cold's character.
Yeah,
it is. All right, I'll give you that.
That's like saying Flash can only run half as fast as he used to be.
I know. All right, look, I'll grant. Big change. All right, look, I'll grant you that. I'm just saying that
when he's wearing the ring.
I'm just saying to read it just to read it.
Yeah,
it was. I was, you know, looking forward to seeing where the fight was going to go, and then at the end of number 9, and then when number 10 started, the last issue in the book,
yeah,
it went to nothing but flashbacks around. I'm like, what the fuck is this? I wanted to read the fight.
They get back to that fight because now you're in the speed zone, and they're talking to people in the speed zone, right?
Yes. Yeah, that's
exactly
where
it's
at.
We're in the Speed Force zone.
Yeah, but I don't want to know backstory when a fight has been ramped up for three issues.
But they come back to it, and it makes that fight more important.
The problem with the Flash run that you're reading is they don't resolve anything.
Oh, yeah, they don't resolve anything.
They don't resolve anything until, like, issue 25, and even then, they don't do a good job.
By then, you're like, at least the art was good.
Yeah.
But the art is amazing.
The art is amazing.
The art is amazing.
It's one of the best Flash art.
Manipul had no idea what he was doing. He was like, no, it's going to be cool.
What about
Iceman?
My favorite things was just how they went, like, DC presents the Flash in every issue. Like, how they creatively, proudly, in every issue is in a weird,
creatively
way. In all of that, title page of every issue was the best part of opening.
In the second book, the way they wrote the Flash in there, it was like in the part of a bus crash or something. It was actually kind of cool with the windows getting shattered.
The laundry in the distance spells out what's going on.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
All right, let's move on to something else.
X-Files.
Oh, okay, let's go to X-Files, some other TV. X-Files is getting 6 issues, been greenlit. Duchovny.
6 issues, 6 episodes.
6 episodes.
And 2 movies.
They also announced 2 movies?
They greenlit 2 movies.
Really?
But the first one wasn't even that good.
Yeah,
the last X-Files film was great. The second one was crap. With the priest, the psychic priest.
I never saw the second one.
Isn't that what that one's called?
I don't know. It's so bad.
I never saw
the one with the aliens and the smoking man. I dug that, man.
The one that ties into the series.
Oh man,
yeah. The first movie was actually pretty good. I never saw the second one.
Oh, it's bad.
Well, the thing too about the first movie is the show was still going on, and the next season picks up where that movie ended.
Yeah.
So it was like
a long episode.
A
Doctor Who special, something like that.
Exactly. You got to go to the movies, you're like, this is awesome, and then you start the next season, and everything that happened affected the show.
My problem with the X-Files announcements is it's only 6 episodes.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty weird.
It's probably because they don't trust it, I don't know.
How can you not?
Well, it has such a big fan base, but here's the thing. It's been away for so long that they don't know if a new generation...
TV execs don't have balls, man.
Well, I'm pretty sure that they don't know if the new this new generation is going to be into it like the last one was.
The distance between this...
That's what it is. Yes,
the distance between this is the same distance between the last season of Doctor Who in the 80s to Doctor Who's reboot. It was 15 years.
Yeah. I think it's
and then it came back, and it got way stronger than it ever was before.
Yeah, it got stronger, but here's the thing. At the time that the original Doctor Who came out, you were lucky if you had BBC in your channel lineup.
PBS.
It would have been a much better
PBS
show.
PBS didn't show
But
BBC
it wasn't meant to be.
They showed Masterpiece.
Doctor Who, I got Red Dwarf
back in the day.
Maybe it was my local PBS, but I got Red Dwarf, Ab Fab, and
Ab Fab.
I loved Ab Fab.
I didn't like Ab Fab.
I got loved Ab Fab. It's so funny.
But now, mind you, I'm a huge British TV show fan. I loved The Abbey Bourne. I love Are You Being Served? I loved all of those BBC, old school.
Mm-hmm.
But and I loved Fawlty Towers, awesome. The changing sign all the time.
Used to crack me up.
Awesome.
But I just, I couldn't get into ASFAB. But as far as Doctor Who, I had my own 12-foot-long Tom Baker scarf. My mother made one for me because she knew how to crochet.
Yeah.
And so I had the whole scarf, the whole thing. I was a huge Tom Baker fan.
That's a good mom right there.
My mom freaking rocks. I can't even tell you.
My dad has never got over Tom Baker.
Well,
he doesn't think anyone else is Doctor Who.
That's how it works.
Well, here's the thing, though.
David Tennant.
Yeah, well, here's the thing, though. The BBC network building, like the original building where they... pitched Doctor Who originally.
Yeah.
They moved out of that building. They have a brand new building.
Yeah.
And, before, I don't know if they've torn it down, but it's been almost, just destroyed on the inside.
Yeah, okay.
But Top Gear the British
automotive
show. Well, one episode, they had a pair of parkour runners running through the building, going up this, you know, everywhere, against two dirt bike guys that were riding dirt bikes through the building, going up in elevators trying to get to the top point.
And that's at one point, they run into a Dalek, don't they?
The original Dalek machine and stuff from Doctor Who is actually still in the sound stages.
It was awesome. I mean, just to look at the retro stuff that was left there.
But like, the inside of that building is just like a massive maze. It's like,
that's cool.
You could get lost in that place if you didn't have a map.
No, I will tell you. Doctor Who was not actually created to be a quote unquote popular TV show.
It was
created to be a scientific show.
Episodes in the future would give you real science. And episodes in the past would give you history.
That's why
if you watch old Doctor Who, every other episode is either in the past or the future.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, William Hartnell, who played the original Doctor, at one point when like new people were coming on the show and he was still there, you know, where they were, you know, they would tell him, well, hey, just press this button to do this. And he goes, I can't. That button is for this. He knew where everything was on that panel in the TARDIS. And he was like, no, y'all don't know what you're talking about. I can't push that button. People that are fans are going to know this.
Yeah. But here's X-Files.
Sorry.
Yeah, you get two Doctor Who fanboys together.
Fanboys? I'm a fan girl.
Whatever.
Come on. I got boobs here.
I love X-Files.
Of course.
Minus the last two seasons.
With the different guy.
Yeah, with the other two people.
I didn't mind those, but no, they weren't anywhere near as good.
No.
I wonder how they're going to rectify that. You know, if that actually happened or not.
What, those other two
people? Well, somebody else was in charge of X-Files for
a while.
Are they going to bring them back, too, is what I'm saying, to the new...
I would like to see that.
I wouldn't mind seeing
that. That was my problem with I Want to Believe, is they ignore those last couple of seasons of X-Files where there was Mulder and Scully.
Yeah,
and,
and they also had that offshoot with the lone gunman.
Yeah.
And they didn't mention them at all.
No.
Are they going to bring back David Duchovny?
They've signed on to do the two movies.
It was actually Gillian Anderson who got this whole thing started at a con. Somebody asked her, would you like to do that? She said, yeah, I'd love to do that. And then, she tweeted it, and, David Duchovny was the first one to reach out.
I'd love to do it, too.
And then Fox was like, oh, shit!
We need
to do that!
Now, here's the problem. I know it's called the X-Files, but I think by the time they're done with the six story run, it's going to be called the Y-Files. I mean, why did you do that?
If they can keep the same creative sort of steam that they built with the original X-Files in those early seasons... They can get some stuff.
Now, are they
going
to rehash some of the old stories, or are they going to try and come up with new ideas?
They should do new ideas.
But I mean, with all the episodes that they did, is it going to be really easy to do that?
It's 2015. Yeah. There's more paranoia, more strange things that happen. Planes go missing in our real day.
Exactly.
Think of how much the technology.
Ted Cruz running for president.
Yeah. Dude, I thought it was Tom Cruise.
Think about everything that's happened.
Tom Cruise? Look at how much technology has changed in 10 years.
Tom Cruise at Vegas Aviator, Maverick.
Thunder.
He drove NASCAR.
I heard that Goose is going to be his VP.
Yeah.
Or Iceman.
Or Viper, right? Wasn't Viper
I didn't like
Tom
Viper.
Scare?
I didn't like Viper.
But anyway, he's running against Iceman. I mean, he's gonna win.
I think X-Files has a good chance of not just making a lot of fanboys days, but bringing back shows like X-Files.
Yeah.
We haven't had one since Fringe.
Yeah, I was going to say Fringe was the last.
Fringe was great.
Fringe was great, minus the last season.
Well, I liked the last season because the fans demanded it.
I liked a lot of the science in Fringe, but here's the thing, like, where the storyline kept going after about maybe 10 or 12 episodes, I was just like,
Fringe jumped around to different things the same way the X-Files did, until it didn't. And then they said, no, we got one overarching story that we're going to focus on. And that's where they screwed up.
Yes.
They should have kept jumping around and trying to tie things together.
Yeah, because, I mean...
You know who really wins for the X-Files coming back?
Who?
Netflix.
Yes. Because
they were going to lose
X-Files
earlier last year due to some crazy
contract
shit that was being talked about. And, I guarantee you every fan who's ever thought about watching X-Files, now that it's coming back, they're going to... Be marathoning the hell out of it.
See, my parents were a huge fan of X-Files, and I did watch my fair share, but I wasn't like a huge,
I had a problem because I was a huge X-Files fan, but I was very social in the 90s.
I just want to know who they're going to bring on as the Smoky Man, because, you know.
I don't think they'll have a
Smoky Man. He died, you know. Well,
I don't think they'll have a Smoky Man.
They'll have a Dipping Man.
No, they'll probably have a Vapor Man.
They might do Vapor Man.
Which would be cool. Some guy was sitting here with a mechanical mod just puffing his ass off. It's like, motherfucker, I ain't getting cancer. Fuck you.
My husband actually has one of those. Is if Mulder would become the Smoky
Man. The new Smoky Man. No, yeah. They need to have
because
him
because it was his dad. Remember?
Wait.
They sort of alluded to it, but
his dad. I don't care.
They knew each other. Him, the Smoky Man
no,
his dad.
No. It's his dad. Right,
well, here's a question.
They completely say it in, like, the movie.
They don't come right out and say it.
All right, well,
I have a very legit question right now.
Jules is fixing to kick Heather in the shin for that.
No, that was good. That was a good one.
Here's the question I have.
Thank you.
So, Jillian Anderson is playing that psychologist on Hannibal. Across from
Hannibal's done after this season.
Yeah, Hannibal's done.
They already canceled it?
No, it's just done.
Done. They're just completing the series.
They're done
with
it. That's all they were doing.
Yeah.
It had some fans, but I guess not enough to force another season, and all they had for it was two seasons.
Yeah, but the actor does
lots
of movies.
When you eat all the fans, you're kind of screwing
Hannibal.
Yeah, well, I liked Hannibal.
It was okay.
Yeah, it was good.
I loved it.
It was all right.
All right, well, my question was going to be, if they're going to make a third season of Hannibal, how are they going to do the scheduling conflicts with X-Files?
I don't think they're going to do
I mean, because I know Gillian Anderson wasn't really in a lot of episodes, but she was in there for a good six story
arc.
If
you remember, 3 or 4 years ago, they were going to bring X-Files back, but David Duchovny was doing Californication.
Yeah.
And he said, no, I'm not going to do two shows at once.
Right.
And he was able to get high all day on Californication.
Yeah.
That's where I'd work, too.
True. And fuck hot chicks.
Well, I don't think he was actually banging.
No. Fucking hot chicks is what got him in trouble in the first place.
Well, that's how they got Californication. Yeah. That's why they started. Because we need David Duchovny for this.
That's one of the reasons David Duchovny had to stop being on X-Files.
Yeah.
Why?
Because he's banging everybody.
Yeah,
he's a sex addict.
And he came out in the tabloids and kids watched X-Files.
Divorced over
and so
it was a big thing.
He had to leave X-Files because of his reputation. That's one of the reasons.
He's married to Taya Leone.
He got abducted.
Also a sex addict.
Well, that works out well.
I guess, until you get bored.
That's only if you two are addicts together.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah.
Let's move off. How do we get to X-Files, the sex addiction now?
Because that's why Mulder gets abducted by aliens.
Because
why they wrote that in there.
Sex files.
Because in a relationship, one person cannot be a sex addict and another one be a born again Christian. It's like, where are you going?
Yeah,
I'm going to church.
Yeah,
what are you going
to
do? I'm going to sit here and whack one off.
Yeah. Oh, God! Oh, God!
Now it's gone too far.
Other TV news I want to talk about. My favorite current ongoing book, easily my favorite Image book, Lazarus, has been picked up for TV. Legendary TV is going to be doing it. They're getting Greg Rucka to write the pilot.
Yeah?
You can't go wrong there.
Maybe source material right there. I
want Charlize Theron for the lead, but she's probably too old. I hate to say that. I don't want to live in a world where Charlize Theron is too old for
television.
Anything.
She's I don't think you can get Charlize Theron.
Charlize Theron has done TV before.
Yes, but not
what was
like
her last movie? Exactly.
Charlize Theron. A Million Ways to Die in the West.
Yeah, a million ways to die in the West. She had
a very small part.
She was the love interest of the entire film.
She was the second love interest.
But she was awesome.
The whole point was he was trying to get the other love
interest. Who smiles in pictures? How creepy.
That movie is
so
bad.
It's so funny, dude.
But
it's really funny.
It's awesome when you're just
really
baked out of your mind.
Yeah, it's awesome.
That's all that movie was.
Especially when that ice block drops on that one dude. He's like, oh my God, that happened so fast.
But yeah, Lazarus, I'm super excited.
It'd be awesome. I'm excited.
It's easily my favorite current ongoing right now. Can we not stay on Lazarus for just a second?
No, because other comic book publisher news.
I love that fucking book.
No, I love that book. But
yeah, go ahead.
Valiant is now working a deal not only for movies but
for
a TV show.
Yeah.
Quantum and Woody television series.
Quantum and Woody TV would be awesome. I'm worried about their films.
I'm worried about their films.
They're gonna come off as looking like they're copycats because all of their characters are copycats of DC or Marvel characters.
But
it's impossible because DC and Marvel has so many characters. It's impossible not to copy them.
Valiant has done a good job in their more recent years of furthering themselves from the original.
Distancing themselves from Marvel and DC. Yes, but still, Bloodshot.
I mean, Bloodshot is not as explicitly a copycat as he used to be.
It still feels bad.
Exo Manowar.
Yeah, it's Iron Man. Dude. And it's gotten better.
It's Iron Man and Blue Beetle, almost.
Yeah, it's Iron Man and Blue Beetle.
And
but it's done a good job of nowadays separating itself.
I'm worried. I like Valiant. I like what they stand for. I think I like competition is good for everything.
I think mostly the next Valiant stuff is better for television.
Oh, definitely. And
Divinity
I think with Valiant Next, their entire goal was to make their characters, to retool them so they work for the screen.
The whole Valiant line, period, was, you know, for that.
Oh, yeah.
To retool them for screen.
Yeah.
They even make a joke about it in one of the Quantum and Woody issues. They're like, oh,
how much they've been retooled.
Yeah, the joke's just like, oh, we just have a whole bunch of these random characters in the backlog. Yeah, we're just looking for somebody to do something with them so we can sell the movie rights later.
I love that show. What do you hear? I don't hear it.
What is it? We're all deaf.
Oh, Doctor Who.
Doctor Who.
Oh, yeah. Doctor Who. That's awesome. On the shot playlist.
Speaking of Doctor, I think Ivar the Time Walker would be an awesome series to watch.
The only problem with that
is Doctor,
it's Doctor Who without a TARDIS.
Yeah. I still watch it.
Wait, what are you talking about?
We're talking about a
Quantum Leap was Doctor Who.
Absolutely.
Without a TARDIS.
That's different.
Different premise, but yeah, similar kind of thing.
It's very different.
Just no other
planets. That's what I'm saying. Ivar the Time Walker is more...
Ivar Time Walker is a Valiant book about a dude who walks through time. Yes. Literally, he's like, it's like a Doctor Who story.
He's Doctor Who, except he doesn't have
the TARDIS.
He's really well written,
or a sonic
for a comic book.
Yeah.
He's a little more BA. He's a little more can do something as opposed to just standing there and explaining he's going to do something and nothing happens and it all works out.
I've got a plan to do nothing. Valiant Comics.
I'm just going to point at something. That's it.
Valiant Comics, I guess, are a lot more popular
lately
in Asia.
Yes, in Europe.
Well, that's where they're doing this thing. Is through a Chinese
company. And that kind of worries me.
It worries me for America. It doesn't worry me for a Valiant. Valiant is going to sell the hell out of more comics in China and sell the hell out of tickets in China. But in America, probably not.
Well, the thing about Valiant is, at one point in time, of our lifetimes, it was the third biggest publisher.
Easily the third biggest.
Way more than Image.
Valiant's thing, even now, Image is always done better
not in America.
Yeah.
Valiant, when I was a kid, my cousins who lived in Europe, they read all of the Valiant lines. When we would talk about comic books, they would talk about Bloodshot.
Exo.
Yeah.
Ninjak.
They loved Ninjak.
I still love Ninjak.
I mean, the ninja.
Dude, Clayman's art, though, in that issue.
It's hard to not like Ninja.
Ninjak 1.
The Bloodshot Reborn art looks amazing by Miko Pseudonym or whatever.
So the Ninjak reboots?
Oh, yeah. It's awesome. It's awesome. And so is Bloodshot Reborn, actually. Jeff Lemire.
None of the Valiant stuff's bad. I mean,
and that's the thing that they've done is they've just gotten all these Young Gun writers.
Yeah.
And
Matt Kent, Jeff Lemire.
Jeff Lemire, and Vendetti.
Oh, yeah. Robert Vendetti's writing for them, too. Yeah.
And it's a smart move. It's pretty much what Marvel's done, but on a smaller scale. Take all these well-known writers and artists.
Have fun.
And tell them.
Yeah, have fun.
Forget about Marvel and DC. You can do whatever you want. We have no continuity. Mm. You make it.
Yeah, we have no continuity.
No continuity.
We don't give a damn.
The only thing is maybe just keep us with no continuity. Don't give us any.
We don't want it. They've done a good job of making a brand new continuity. That has nothing to do with the Valiant I grew up with.
And the thing about it is their continuity, like you said, is so not cohesive that it doesn't matter if it goes away and you start over.
It's actually more cohesive than you think it is.
Yeah,
it is, but it's not like in-your-face cohesive.
Unity does a good job of bringing all of it together.
But they don't hang their hat on it like Marvel and DC.
Yeah, it's not like they rely solely on their canon and continuity.
Yeah.
They rely on their solo books.
Yeah. Canon? What's canon?
Canon?
That's the thing that we pretend to use all of the time and we don't.
Oh, I thought
we pretend to hate it all the time and we love it.
We hate it all the time and we love it. Awesome. We cling to it, but we don't.
What else is going on, man? What else?
Daredevil's in a couple weeks.
I'm super stoked for Daredevil. I really want to see the red costume. I'm not going to see it until the last episode. But it's okay, because I watched the last episode the same day I watched the first.
Yeah, I'm going to binge all of it.
I'm going to binge all of it twice.
Oh.
Oni Press has got their March Madness going on. They're announcing six new books by top writers and artists. It's Oni Press. A lot of their stuff looks like Boom used to look like. Yeah. A lot of kiddie sort of Adventure Time looking art. But
they've always pulled really good artists and writers.
They have been able to pull really good artists and writers.
I mean, for God's sake, Scott Pilgrim.
Scott Pilgrim.
I know.
Scott Pilgrim.
It's amazing.
And they do. They always get those runaway hits.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's I love Scott Pilgrim. It's
everybody does. It's been amazing. I don't know how many times.
It's amazing.
It is. It's
how do you guys
really
feel about the weird press they made with the colored versions?
It's interesting. Oh, yeah. Scott Pilgrim.
They did a colorized version of it.
I don't mind that. It's not for me. I like it the traditional way.
Well, I mean, I like the black and gray, but I probably like the color just as much. I like Scott Pilgrim so much. I bought the Xbox arcade game.
Nice.
Scott Pilgrim on my Xbox.
Yeah, nice. Which also, that brings up...
My kids had that.
The other day, I tried to re-download it because I used to have it. Apparently, it's not on there anymore.
The Scott Pilgrim game.
Yeah, it's just not there.
Oh, no.
And it sucks because I paid money for it, deleted it. Like, because I need
you should email them. They'll give you a credit. Sad. If you email them and tell them that, they will give you a live credit.
All right.
Because my kids have done that with some game where they downloaded and then it wasn't available.
Yeah, but I'm just bummed also because that game ruled and I wanted to play it again.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's like you know, good old school side scroller, you know, final fight type of game.
Fun.
Yeah, it's just a beat 'em up, like side, left to right beat 'em up.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. Something else.
Yeah,
The A-Force anthology books got announced this
week. A-Force Presents is what it's called. I think it's going to
collect
reprintings of like She-Hulk number one, Ms. Marvel number one, books like that.
Yeah.
And then three issues per book, I think, is what it's going to be for like an
$8
book. But
it's supposed to have new stories as well.
I did not hear that.
Yeah. It's supposed to create an anthology of the past.
Yeah.
And
I don't
want to
get on
version.
A feminism thing, but...
People are crying out, saying,
we need more girls in comics, we need more girls, and I'm all for that. But a team solely made up of girls, and DC's doing one too, a Justice League with nothing but girls. Not even the Avengers
had
nothing but guys. The X-Men had girls on the team from the beginning.
I was going to say, I've been reading the All-Girls X-Men for a minute
Yeah, exactly.
And that's a good book.
Yeah, but
I'm
look,
just a little
even in DC, they had a team of girls. It was, what was it called?
Birds of Prey.
Yeah, Birds of Prey.
Awesome book.
I'm okay with that.
Well, I saw the TV show.
You guys are missing my point.
But no.
The promotion of these, they're promoting them as this is an all-girls Avengers team. Why?
Big deal.
Exactly, big deal. Yeah, yeah. If we're really shooting for equality... I totally understand putting girls on a team. Yes. Hell yeah, do it. But here's Kamala on a team.
Yeah,
but damn, why are you excluding guys just so you can prove a point?
No, here's my thing about it. Everyone went all BSC about this girl that, you know, had written a letter to DC about needing more female heroes.
Yes.
And I know you saw my rant on
it. I did.
I went off. We have been begging for years for more females to be prominent in comic books.
Mm-hmm.
Why did it take
just the
11-year-old girl
just
to say something?
Move the females that you have into a more prominent role.
And
you don't have to create an entire new female character.
Right. Mm-hmm. As a kid, when I started reading comic books, Black Widow was the leader of the Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I started my life. In all fairness, Black Widow was.
Early
90s. Wow. Black Widow was the leader of the Avengers.
Scarlet Witch had a huge
role. Scarlet Witch and Ms. Marvel were the three prominent
Wasp
Avengers.
Was on
and
that
Wasp.
Team.
Those were the Avengers everyone. Captain America wasn't on the team at the time.
Nope.
Iron Man was still recovering from alcoholism. And
he's still recovering from alcoholism.
And what's the other?
He's
Thor.
On the way.
He's recovering at one bottle at a time.
Thor was Ragnarok.
Yeah.
So when I was reading, I was just a kid. But those are the Avengers I remember the most. There's Black Widow, Miss Marvel, Scarlet Witch, and the Wasp. And Yellow Jacket was
And they didn't make a big deal about having
all
these
girls. There was no, like,
oh
my god, the main characters of this story were women. It was just me reading the Avengers.
And that's
a lot of this is just because the girl made such a big hoo-ha about it.
I think
and they're trying to say, oh, here's some girls,
I understand people making a hoo-ha.
Yeah, yeah.
They should want their gender They should want their gender represented. My thing is, why do you have to throw... like the whole kitchen sink at him. Say no,
because
he's
a
team full of girls.
It's a PC universe.
Now.
Look, if we were going to go for a PC universe, I would want a girl team. with a really hot guy in it.
Yeah.
And women who have normal sized boobs.
Yeah. And they're all shitting on the guy. They're all saying, hey, what's up, baby? You know, stuff like that. Yeah,
that's the thing.
If you
know,
really want to push it, push it, man.
That's the thing. You know, you'll have every girl on the planet reading that one because, you know, there's eye candy.
I was about to say, he better not start singing that song.
Hold on.
And I'm tired of that Geico commercial.
Inforce and everything is, no, the little girl wrote this to DC.
Yeah.
Now, in DC, it is always kind of been, there's always only ever been one girl or all guys.
Wonder Woman
on the Justice League.
And the other ones?
Or no Wonder Woman on the Justice
League. Yeah, you got Zatanna, but.
Yeah.
She's now, so over sexualized.
Yeah, we got Zatanna.
Yeah.
Now, the Justice League has always been very guy heavy. And I agree, I'm many times in the Avengers, but usually the most powerful character on the Avengers is typically. A girl.
Well, Scarlet Witch.
Scarlet Witch, she could change the entire universe.
She's easily the most powerful.
Yeah. Hawk Girl from DC was like one of the most powerful chicks.
But I mean, and Captain Marvel's awesome.
Yeah, but how many times do you really hear somebody talking about the Scarlet Witch?
Well, very rarely. She's right.
Outside of the comic world.
Outside of the immediate people.
You hear, but I'm talking about Batman. You hear Superman. Well,
right. But what females do you hear about besides Wonder Woman in
that's
the big
it.
Thing? Black Widow now.
That's
Natasha,
it.
Well,
Black
movies.
Widow only because of Avengers.
Yes,
but that's it. You don't really hear about other women.
Now I'm so for them pushing these female characters, these maybe lesser known female characters, onto readers. I'm so for that. But why promote your book as saying, oh no, it's all girls. You won't see a dick anywhere in this book. What? Wait, why are you selling me this book like this?
Okay, the girls are out totally.
Why are you selling me this book like this? I may want to read it, but the way they're selling it to me is just...
For instance...
I don't get it. Let that just speak.
All right, so this is a big deal, actually. Also in underground music as well, there's a very similar thing where a lot of women in punk and metal have a problem with their band being billed as female fronted hardcore punk because that
all
should,
girl band.
Yeah, it's more it's making it a gimmick.
It should be about the music.
Yeah,
and it shouldn't matter who's on bass or who's on drums. If it sounds good,
I mean,
I'll listen to it.
It's almost the same thing with Lizzie Hale and Hailstorm.
Yes.
I mean the other members of her band are male, but because she is the front
every
person.
Band with a female lead that happens too. Yes. Evanescence, what's Gwen? Well, I can't even remember the band.
Gwen Stefani.
No doubt. Every.
Lacuna Coil,
My whole thing is.
Joan Jett.
Joan Jett.
Even Fleetwood Mac.
Yes.
But Joan Jett was different. She was in the Runaways. Yeah. That's a little different.
Well, she's still going strong, but even now, I mean,
it's still touted as an all-girl band.
Well, I think the Runaways was one of those bands that tried to overcome that.
Yeah.
You know, that, we might be an all-girl band, but we're for real. We're good. But no, they don't do that anymore.
Well, and then Belinda Carlisle, or whatever her name is, split off. And
she was in the Go-Go's.
Go-Go's, yeah.
Yeah,
wasn't in the Runaways. Belinda Carlisle in the Runaways.
I got Joan Jett mixed up with someone else.
We're going to rap anyway.
Yeah.
It's close.
A couple years ago, adjectiveless X-Men was billed as just adjectiveless X-Men. There was not, all girls X-Men.
It was just X-Men.
It was just X-Men.
And it happened
and
to have all girls.
It just happened to have all girls.
Yeah.
That's how that book was billed.
But
actually, it was billed just on Brian Wood and Olivier Coppel. That was the team.
That's right.
And they said, they picked their favorite X-Men. This is the book.
Just happened to be
all girls. It just happened to be all girls.
Heroes for Hire tried to do it,
even
though they had Humbug in there and other guys. Yeah. But let's wrap up. Final thoughts, Josh.
Don't forget, tomorrow, the game day at Gallatin Public Library from 4 till 6 or 6:30.
That's on Thursday the 26th.
Yeah, tomorrow. So.
Yeah. What time is that, you said?
4 till 6 or 6:30.
Nice.
So they're going to be having... Munchkin, Castle Panic, Gloom, Starflux,
nice.
The Resistance. I'm probably going to be bringing my copy of Pandemic, and they brought in Settlers of Catan and I think one other game. So
I'm not hardcore.
Now the reason why they're bringing in these games,
damn it.
Well, the reason why they're bringing in these games is because these were the games. Because I made a list of games from the show Tabletop on YouTube of where they could start with to bring players into playing these new types of games. So it's just a good entrance point.
Oh, definitely.
You know, so yes.
Awesome. Gallatin Public Library on water.
Yeah, no,
right off Main,
on off South Water on the. It's basically on the corner of Southwater and Main Street.
So right where I said.
Yeah. Sorry, it's on. It's,
I know.
It's
right by the jail.
Yeah.
It's, how you know that?
No,
man?
It's not by the jail.
Right.
No, but it's on the square, so it's easy to find.
I don't know. I carry a gun for a living. Figure it out.
Well, hurry up. We're down to 7% battery.
All right. I'm getting us ready to head out to the Fanboy Expo in Knoxville.
Nice. When is that?
5th through 7th.
Nice.
And we're excited because they've added more people and we're just, ready to have a blast. And that's your go.
Sweet. Fanboy Expo, Knoxville, what weekend?
It's June 5th through 7th, and Burt Ward and Adam West will be there.
The original Batman and Robin from the TV?
That's from awesome. TV.
Jesse!
All right, keeping it up with the events. I do a metal night at Foo Bar off of Gallatin Road last Thursday
in Nashville.
Of the month. Yep, in Nashville, called Hellbent for Metal, where I spin nothing but vinyl, metal, all sorts of metal for with one
vinyl
of my friends.
Vinyl metal?
Yeah.
Awesome.
And that's tomorrow, so come out.
Awesome. Jules True.
I'm not looking forward to JLA by Brian Hitch.
I'm looking forward to the art.
It's going to be gorgeous, but it's also written by Brian Hitch.
I'm not sure if he's going to be able to write anything.
Oh, also, Good Night, Elaine.
Oh, he got you, man. But yeah, the Brian Hitch art,
Brian Hitch,
I love
like,
it, but
it
yeah.
It looks cool, but no. Brian Hitch writing?
I might give him a chance.
I'm not.
I don't want to,
I'm
but
not.
I might.
I'm not. Right. I read Real Heroes.
You know, cool.
I'm not looking forward to the new.
I'm not looking yet. You know what? I finally saw all the previews for Post Convergence, and it looks awful.
Yeah,
it doesn't look anything.
There's a few good books.
Nothing looks
that
good.
They might be able to throw
nothing
in look, there.
T-shirt but, Superman looks stupid again.
Yeah.
Twice in 3 years.
You shouldn't put jeans
Captain
on
Captain Marvel,
pair,
Wonder
superheroes.
Woman doesn't look cool.
No, I don't like that either.
And
jeans on
Batman, Cyborg, Batman.
Yeah, Bat Chappy looks awful.
Yeah.
Terrible.
We already went through this last week.
Nothing looks good.
There's enough griping for that shit to go around.
Interesting thing. I also thought. Final thought. They that post Secret Wars Avengers does have Girl Thor and Miss Marvel.
Weird.
Yeah. It does.
And it obviously implies all new Captain America is going to be there.
Well,
so post
I know
War,
it's very all new, all different.
All new,
it
all
looks
different.
Very weird. We might get a
Vision
revamp of that.
Vision is going to be
Vision
announced today.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, they showed the picture.
We guessed Vision, dude.
Yeah.
We guessed
Vision. Well, looks like Nova's going to be there.
Nova's going to be there.
Maybe Iron Man.
We don't know which Iron Man.
But he's not all new and all different.
No, I
think might not be.
Actually, I think it's going to. I know you guys are laughing, but I think it's going to be Ant-Man.
Ant-Man looks like the one in the middle.
Yeah, the one in the middle.
Yeah.
I don't think
the
it's going to be
the Thor core part, the Thor's book from Secret Wars, you could definitely have more than one Thor coming out of that into the 616, and I'd be cool with that.
And, I think
you
see
the Mjolnir that has like the triangle head on it? Oh, I love that one.
Hey,
one like
guys,
that.
By the way, I almost forgot. The last episode of the podcast of Star Talk Radio, they had Elon Musk on there.
Oh, nice. Talking about his tubes.
Yeah. Well, no, of a. He was the CEO of SpaceX and
Tesla.
And Tesla Motors.
Yeah, and he's working on that on the tube, like the Futurama tube.
Yeah, more or less.
He is.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome. So he was talking about, like,
so check
out
Star Talk Radio, Neil deGrasse Tyson's podcast.
Yeah.
It's also going to be a talk show on National Geographic starting later this year.
Yeah.
Adam, final thought.
Which is going to be great.
Transformers 49.
Transformers is awesome.
Ooh, woo, woo.
You should be reading Combiner Wars, and if you're not,
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
My final thought is about Metallica.
Oh,
it came out yesterday that Injustice for All has no bass on it
because
of Lars.
Lars Ulrich.
Wait, what?
It came out yesterday. The dude who actually did the mixing.
Yeah, the engineer
for Injustice for All.
Record.
If you ever heard Injustice for All, people gripe that there's not enough bass in it.
Well,
and the drum sounds are really
it's at the tail.
The drum sounds real shitty.
It's the tail end of their 80s. Anthem.
It's the last.
Well, no,
album.
This dude come out. But, this dude came out.
It's not last good album.
Yes, it is. But
the Black Album was good.
It has.
It was
songs.
Their last great album.
It has songs.
Injustice for All was their last great album.
It's the last full album.
Look, we can argue semantics about this
that's
all day
semantics.
Long. Get to the point of your original thought.
Fact.
But there's no bass on Injustice for All on the album
because
it's been very limited down because Lars was.
He actually,
he told the mixer pulled it out.
He's like, to the engineer goes, yeah, you hear that bass part? And the engineer's like, yeah, he killed it. It's great. He's like, well, drop it down. And then he was like, really? Okay, and then he's like, see where you put that down? Now put it a couple more decibels lower.
And do it for the whole album.
Yeah.
And that's what Lars said. Now, to defend Lars, they just lost a legend, their childhood best friend, Cliff Burton. Yeah. That was the last album they did. Then, yeah. Before they went into the...
Because that damn bus driver hit a patch of black ice.
Before they went into the studio to do And Justice... They had the Monsters of Rock, and they had huge, you know, festival tours. And Jason Newsted kind of got into the dream job.
Yeah, from Flotsam and Jetsam.
It was a dream gig, though.
Yeah.
And, no, Jason, you're not responsible for us selling millions of albums and having all these festivals. I am. I'm Lars Ulrich. Now, if you want to take from this news that Lars is an asshole, that's not news to anybody.
Yeah, that's
he's been an asshole for decades.
I mean, hell, they fucked over Dave Mustaine like right from the word go.
Kill 'em all.
He had
a drug problem.
Well, he had drug and alcohol problems, but hell, they had alcohol problems just as bad.
If you're kicked out of Metallica for your drug and alcohol abuse, you're really abusing drugs and alcohol.
And also
especially in the 80s.
And also Megadeth sucks. See you guys.
Megadeth does not suck. All right, guys. Thanks for 99 Ways to Die?
99 Ways to Die was great.
Thank you for listening to the podcast, guys. Tune in next week. Larry will be here, hopefully, to host. As always, thanks to Comic City 2 in Madison, Tennessee. We couldn't do anything we do without them. Check out their website at comiccity2.com. And for this podcast and everything else we do, reviews, news, other shows, podcast, if we ever get the hell to record those damn things.
Maybe.
Anyway, go to OutrightGeekery.com.
And don't forget about the anime.
It should be your home away from home. Yeah, we got a lot of convention coverage coming up, a lot of stuff you're not going to be able to get other places. I don't know any other websites going to MTAC.
Yeah. So, we might be the only one. In which case, we might be able to get to do interviews.
I hope so. But awesome, thanks for listening, guys, and next week.